We're thankful for your faithfulness in coming back to look at the second lesson on the three worlds. These will be just some scriptures that have been overflowing from this. And I think we've got the main message in lesson number one. But these will be those things that will encourage you and will fortify that which we have brought this morning, or which the Lord brought through us this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. The apostle is saying, I want you to be mindful of the words that you have in the Old Testament. And that's the very thing that the Lord Jesus Christ required of Nicodemus. As he asked him in John chapter 3, verse 10, art thou a teacher in Israel, and you don't know these things? You've got the Old Testament. Peter said that, let me stir up your minds by those things which were spoken by the holy prophets. He said, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. All right, verse number 6, the first world. Let me start with verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, or between the water, whereby the world that then was, that's the world that was created from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 till God said in chapter 6 that he was going to destroy it, that's Adam's world. The world that then was, being overflowed with water, that's Noah's flood, perished. Then the second world, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. The word of God brought that first world into being, and the word of God brought that second word into being, world into being. And dear soul, it's the word of God that brings the third world into being, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you enter into an invisible spiritual kingdom. You are sought by the Father not to come to place, but to come to attitude. Not here or there, but come in truth and in spirit, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He said, it's coming a time, and now is, when you will not worship in Samaria in that mountain, or neither yet in Jerusalem. Going to do away with locale, but you're going to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's really helped me with that Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, in this time when we have been separated by the things that have come in providence. But it has helped me to see that God wants us to come as the eagles are gathered together to feed off the carcass. That's what he meant in John chapter 6 when he says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life. So it's not a matter of assembly or the accumulation of individuals. It's a matter of all the individuals coming to the carcass. What an amazing thing for Jesus to call himself a carcass. For us to come and feed off Christ. And I think what he's doing in these last days is teaching us that he doesn't want us getting together and having a mutual admiration society and having ourselves all excited and titillated and all feeling good and about fellowship with one another, when John says in 1 John chapter 1, our fellowship is to be with the Father. So when you are going into eternity, you've drawn your last breath, the next second, you need to prepare for that, and you need to understand that you need to have a consciousness now of what you shall be then. Think about it. Everybody on earth is left. Your body is left. Your spirit now stands before the giver of and the author of spirits, who gave you that spirit, but hath called it back unto himself. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. It's personal. And God's given us opportunity for us to be able to have a strength of spirit and have an encouragement of heart, of worship, of knowing in our heart of hearts that we are worshiping the Lord and that we are not involved in idolatry, the idolatry of being a Baptist, the idolatry of being a church member, the idolatry of being more pleased to see other people than you are that of Christ. Are we really a Christian? What's the first five letters of that word? C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ. That's who saved you. You didn't get saved on the buddy system. He saved you. I give unto them eternal life. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. For there is no other name given unto heaven among men whereby ye must be saved. We've got to come personally to Christ. And I think that's what he's given us opportunity to do. So there was the world that then was, Adam's world, the world that is now, that's kept in store, which is the world since Noah. But then Peter begins to tell us in verse 13 of 2 Peter chapter 3, nevertheless, okay, all that's true, but nevertheless, all of that, we, according to his promise, the promise of the kingdom, the promise of the new realm, the promise of the new world, the promise of the new birth. Isaiah saw it. We read it to you in Isaiah 65, 17, and Isaiah 66, 20 and following. A new heaven and a new earth. The prophets were talking about it. What were they talking about? It's talking about being born again, talking about a new world. And I read you in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God like a bride. John saw it. What did he see? He saw it by the eye of faith. He saw it as a prophet. He saw it as God bringing forth his kingdom. He saw it as Daniel saw them bringing the Son of Man before the Ancient of Days and God giving him a kingdom that shall never be removed. Daniel saw it by the Spirit thousands of years before it was to happen. When he was in one of the earliest of kingdoms, the Babylonian kingdom, he was seeing Jesus Christ's kingdom being set up in the last kingdom, the Roman Empire. He's seeing it by the Holy Spirit. He's seeing it as a prophet. John saw it as an apostle. I see it. Not I'm going to see it like Daniel did, but I see it. It's the new heavens and the new earth coming down from God. Read Acts chapter 2. Where did the fire come from? Sent down from heaven. It's the church age, dear soul. It's the kingdom of righteousness. It's the kingdom, not the kingdom of glory, so that it only begins at the second coming of the Lord and the establishment of his kingdom and the casting out of Satan and the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire and death and hell and cast into the lake of fire. Then it starts. No. Do you realize that it says that the Lord Jesus shall come with his saints? 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's see if I can find it for you. Verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He is going to bring those who have already entered into the kingdom with him. You can't wait till Jesus comes to say, well, then it's going to start. You stand at the bus stop, but just so the bus is already gone. You're not going to be on it. You need to understand that this thing started at Pentecost. This is the kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness, not glory. righteousness shall blossom into glory. But it started with when regeneration started. And we read you that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And we've quoted it to you many, many, many times. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's it. So we see, dear soul, that it is a matter of God's bringing it in. Let me read you Romans chapter 3. Brother Bobby and I had a session between these two messages, and bless his heart, he's so faithful to read scriptures to me, and I appreciate that. It's a blessing. The preacher's a Christian. He's a human being too, and for people to read him, the Bible is a wonderful thing. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law, it's not do this and you'll be righteous. It's being righteous, you will do this. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It's witnessed by the law. I'm not saved by works, but I am saved unto good works. Verse 22, Romans 3. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. The righteousness of God, which is by faith. But dear soul, in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us that now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And that faith is going to be done away with because when you have what you had faith in, well, I've got faith that I'm going to be in heaven. Well, now that I'm in heaven, I don't need faith anymore. I'm already here. I needed faith back yonder before I got here to believe that I was going to come here. And it had a twin sister named Hope, and I had a great hope of being with God eternally. But faith, hope, and love. And so faith brings us to righteousness and establishes us in righteousness. Let me read that verse to you again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. And here are the verses that Brother Bobby read me in chapter 4, the next chapter of the book of Romans, and verse number 17. As it is written, talking about Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. Why was it against hope? Because he didn't have a body that could be able to produce seed anymore, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now listen, we're talking about faith bringing in the world of righteousness. So when faith is no more, then righteousness has to already be here. So righteousness starts with faith, and it brings you on into glory. Yes, this third world is involved in eternal glory, but it starts before that. It's the kingdom of righteousness, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. If you're going to walk with God by faith, there's some things you're going to have to not consider. You're going to have to not let Satan keep accenting the negative. You're going to have to make sure that your hope presents you an establishment upon belief in Jesus Christ and honoring him no matter how bad things get. Elijah believed that the fire was going to fall down from heaven, although there was water soaking the wood and it was just filling up the pit around the wood. Listen, and it did fall. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, that is dead as far as being able to bring forth seed, when he was about 100 years old, and he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb either. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now listen. And being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. And listen. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Faith is that which brings in righteousness. But you're not going to have faith in eternity. So that's going to be a kingdom and a realm of glory. When you get there, you don't need faith. But here, the beginning of the world of righteousness, faith brings it in and brings it on. And you get into this third world of righteousness prior to the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. It's when you come to him in redeeming grace. By grace are you saved through faith. So that's what it's all about. So we see that it works by faith. And faith will not need to be had in eternity. Therefore, we will already have the third world of righteousness, which we got by faith when we were born again. Now, one of the things that has bothered me in a Christian walk in reading Revelation 21 is how it describes the new heavens and the new earth. In Revelation 21 is John, as it were, echoing back to Isaiah, I got the kingdom, I see it, it's here now. I see the new heaven and the new earth. And that's not future, that's not prophetical. That's telling you I got it now. It is come. It's the new heaven and new earth. It's the church age. It's Pentecost. It's cloven tongues of fire come to sit on them. And he says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven, Revelation 21:3, saying the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle of God. Tabernacle was a temporary tent, temporary dwelling. I'm dwelling with God now. He's dwelling with me now, but it's going to be greater when he comes to redeem me and overcome death, hell, and the grave by destroying the last enemy, which is death. And we're going to get eternal life. And I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is. It'll be different then. Listen. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Now, that always bothered me. How can you say that the kingdom of God has started when we still see people die? We're still going to funeral homes. We're still going to hospital intensive care wards. We're still having to go to emergency rooms and come out without the loved one we went in with. You know, how can you say no more death? All right, let's look at that. He says there shall be no more death. Look at John chapter 8, the book of John. Chapter 8 and verse number 51. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. John 8 and verse number 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. How do you understand that? You say, well, those people that stood there with him, hearing him say that 2,000 years ago, every last one of them is dead. But are they? Yes, they may be dead physically, but he gave unto them eternal life, and they never perished. Now, those who did not keep his sayings died physically and are still dying eternally. But those who believed his word never saw spiritual death. That's what it's talking about. No more death. Listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. So they saw that physically, but they didn't understand because they were not born again. Therefore, they couldn't see the kingdom or enter into it or have any understanding of what he's talking about. Revelation 21 and verse 5 said no more death. That's because they saw the spiritual kingdom that that Isaiah prophesied of in Isaiah 65, 17 and Isaiah 66, 20. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is an invisible realm. It is a new world. The world of the Spirit. God, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. That's the way that it is. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a powerful verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 10. He talked about the power of God in verse number 9. He says, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He had given us in Christ before the world began. He gave us in Christ before the world began, but I wasn't there then. Okay, let's get down to now. Okay, the next verse said, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What is immortality? It means you don't die. Invisible, immortal, the only wise God. Jesus Christ, eternal God, is invisible, immortal, the only wise God. He is without death. He's talking about without spiritual death. We have carried so many of the remains of our brothers and sisters in Christ down through the 45 years or so that we've been meeting together in this church to these cemeteries and placed their body, watched the morticians place their body and lower it into the dirt, into the earth, and cover it up with dirt. You say, well, that's death. Well, not the kind of death the Lord's talking about, because we are not as others who have no hope, but we heard their testimony. We shared with them the gospel. They shared with us the gospel. They gave us their understanding of their faith and belief in Christ, which encouraged our own. So we understand and know they didn't really die. Spiritually speaking, all God has to do is resurrect that physical body because the spirits are still alive there in the presence of Almighty God. And so he said, where's that verse? Is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath, number one, abolished death, and number two, hath brought life and immortality to light. Through the gospel, we have a period of human history we call the Dark Ages. The gospel was not widely believed and preached and known. Men were without hope. It was the Dark Ages. They didn't have the faith that they do when they have the gospel preached unto them. And so God says, God hath brought the concept of life and immortality to light. How did he do it? Through the gospel. Dear soul, the most powerful agent God has ever turned loose on planet Earth is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And having the gospel in your heart and mind, I don't care what you have to go through, how bad your life seems to be, what you seem to be lacking and having to do without is nothing compared to what those people are having to do without, even if they have more goods of this world than you do. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. Their soul, he brought life to light. He brightened the understanding of eternal life. Yes, I'm going to die one day if the Lord doesn't come back to get me first. But their soul would just be passing on into eternal glory. It won't be death. It will be passing on into life. And God will come back and get this body. Let me show you something. John chapter 5. The book of John, chapter 5, and verse number 24. You do know that verily, verily means surely, surely, or truly, truly, right? Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He's living right now. There he is. We can see him. He hath eternal life right now. Because he believes, he heard the word and believed it. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed, E-D, passed, already happened, from death unto life. The man is already passed from death unto life. Did you see it? No. Why? Canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. He already has passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. This is to be read 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, it was then true. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Not just Lazarus in the grave come forth, and he that was dead came forth, but those that heard him and believed on him passed from death, spiritual death, to spiritual life. They were born again. The kingdom of righteousness began to manifest itself to them in that day. So he says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life into it, to himself. Marvel not that I say unto thee, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. He said, but I want you to understand this. When the last trumpet blows and you see people getting up out of the graves, and you will, because everybody will get up out of the graves, those bodies will be resurrected, and those spirits that are in eternal glory with Jesus Christ will be reunited with those bodies. And the instant that they're reunited, they shall be glorified. They shall be like him, for they shall see him as he is. But I want you to understand this. He said, 2,000 years ago, he said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. And now is. Jesus said, believest thou this? Yea, Lord, I believe. Help now mine unbelief. Eternal life. Passed from death unto life. Did you see it? I was standing here watching it when it happened, but I didn't see it. You can't see the working of the Spirit in regeneration. But they passed from death unto life, and they've been passing from death unto life for 2,000 years as the gospel is preached and believed on and given to them by the Holy Spirit. So when he says, no more death, he meant no more death. I'm no more dead. I was all my life dead in trespasses and sins. In 7 years, I was a dead church member, but God came and saved me, thank you, Lord, and didn't leave me in that condition as a lying hypocrite saying I knew the Lord, and I didn't. And God saved me and quickened me and made me alive, and I've been alive, and there's no more death. I passed from death unto life. He brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel. I believed in it. It was given to me effectually. So the Lord has given us these things and made us understand that this is that world that he's talking about, a world wherein dwelleth righteousness. How did you get it? Again, here we go. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. You may not want to believe it. You may not want to claim this. You may say, oh, I'm unworthy. But you need to be careful about that. Because, listen, if you're born again and you have the righteousness of God, that righteousness that's in you is just as righteous as the righteousness that's as the righteousness that's in Christ's breast sitting there on the throne of God right now. Brother Gene, can we claim that? You better claim it. That's all the righteousness there is. There's no bargain basement righteousness. There's no Baptist righteousness. There's no religious righteousness. That righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Works righteousness, religious righteousness, morality righteousness. That's not righteousness. That's as filthy rags. But Christ's righteousness, imputed to you as he, bless his dear name, imputed your sin to himself, is the righteousness of God. And that is that third world. And dear soul, it makes you understand and see the reason we can't see this world according to righteousness is because we can't see righteousness and how it is imputed to us. We are very well learned and schooled with all kinds of doctrine. And we have great teachers and we have schools, but we don't know anything about the Spirit. It's like Nicodemus. Art thou a teacher in Israel? Yeah. I'm a master in Israel. I'm a rabbi. And you don't know anything about the new birth? Well, I give you modern day religious America. They don't know anything about the things of the Spirit. They know about the parting of the Red Sea. They know about Adam and Eve. They know about Paul and Silas. They know about this, that, and the other. They got Christian schools, and we've learned all kind of stuff. And what have we done but made hypocrites out of our students and made them think and understand because of this diploma you're something special. You're not anything special until Jesus' righteousness is special in your heart. Dear soul, we're in a mess. We think because we know the books of the Bible and we know these particular doctrines and we have the articles of faith and we have all of this, that, you know, God owes us something. Dear soul, that proves that you don't have it. Because God doesn't owe us anything but hell, and he can pay us off anytime he wants to. The only reason, dear soul, that we have anything is because of the mercy of Almighty God and the imputation of our sin to Christ, who knew no sin, as he imputed and imparted his righteousness to us. And that opens your eyes and causes you to see the world according to righteousness. Isn't it amazing that we can't see this third world? And it's because we hadn't entered into it. And why have we not entered into it? Because we're not born again. Dear soul, I'm going to tell you one more time of what I've told you many, 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 many times. We don't really know that many true Christians. We've got a lot of people that can say, Polly wants a cracker. Polly don't know who Polly is, and Polly don't know what a cracker is. All he knows if it makes them noises is to get something good to eat. And all we're doing is just parroting different sayings and going through structures of habit and getting excited and being, joyful over. I got to see my best bud down yonder at the church, and we just enjoyed ourselves. And then the second service started and I had to leave. Isn't it something that we look forward more to seeing one another more than we do the Lord Jesus Christ? And again, when I say when you open your eyes after that last breath on earth, it ain't going to be your best bud you see standing there unless Jesus is your best bud. You need to get to the place to where you want to see Jesus more than you want to see anybody in this world. That's redemption, and that's the world according to righteousness. And that is the reason we don't know about it, is because we're not in it. My soul. Let me finish up Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. Here's old Paul up on Mars Hill preaching to them highfalutin brainiacs. And here's what he says. He says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, he overlooked. But now, commanded, not a suggestion, all men everywhere to repent. In times past, God said, well, darkness upon the face of the deep, God winks at, God overlooks, but not anymore. Why? Because the King of Glory has come in and been presented to the Ancient of Days. Because the Holy Spirit has been prayed by the Son to the Father to be sent, and he has come and he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all the world has changed. Darius and Caesar and Alexander the Great and Cyrus the Mede and all those guys are dead now. And now you have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. He says, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Do you understand? Do you fully benefit from Matthew 28:18? So it's not Caesar, it's not Darius the Mede, it's not Nebuchadnezzar, it's Jesus Christ. He is in control of everything. And he says, now, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. Now I want you to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And now you are responsible for knowing about repentance. The time of that ignorance, during all those five Gentile kingdoms, God winked at. But now, and I'll prove it to you, let me read you one more verse. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he, God the Father, raised him, God the Son, from the dead. Now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath now brought in a righteousness under the authority of King Jesus. I hope and pray that this has opened up to you that third world. I hope you understand it, and I hope you will study it out even further, and don't let my ignorance or my inability to be able to present this to you as well as it should be presented hinder you from studying the Word of God. But you take this and use it that you might be able to further get into it. It is our delight to pray for Brother Bobby Quick as he comes and brings us a wonderful song. We're so thankful for his talent and his willingness to use it for the glory of God. You listen and pray for Brother Bobby as he comes.
I'd like to read something before I do this. Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so is my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For the rain, as the rain cometh down from and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the hearer. And we just heard some of the seeds sowed, right? So it didn't return void. Let's see if it brings forth. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, neither shall it shall accomplish that which I please, say, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I send it. Amen. In light of that, now I didn't have much time to work on this song. I don't play by note, but we'll do what we can, okay? And I'm not really a singer, but we'll sing "I Trust from the Heart." Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every stormy gale I find his word is faithful all the time. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covered in his blood, supports me in these overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, his is on my hope is safe. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Sang every verse, but I feel like God's people get the point. And please pray for me that I would do this for the will of God and for no other reason. Thank you, brethren.